like to read tonight from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3.
This is our brother, Jim Baker, from Hamilton, Scotland.
Colossians chapter 3, reading at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Down, please, to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Finally, verse 22. Well, we're at 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men please us, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now God will bless the reading of his precious word tonight. I don't really know why, but it's been upon my heart over a number of weeks now, thinking about these meetings, that possibly if the occasion arose to talk about this epistle, and in particular this chapter. This epistle is written, is one of two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, and it was really two of the epistles that he is writing to people that he had never seen. We can see that from the beginning of chapter 2. He numbered them amongst others who had not seen his face in the flesh. But he had heard from a man called Epaphras. This is in chapter 1 and in chapter 4. And Epaphras had labored down in Colossae. And he had seen the assembly planted there. And if I am right, I think it might be that he had seen two other assemblies planted in the Lycus Valley. It was a valley and a river ran down through it in Turkey there. And it's amazing what God did through this one man. And he, if you look at chapter 4, you'll discover that in fact he came from Colossae. He was a Colossian, if you like. You'll see that it says, Onesimus, who is one of you. And then further down the passage it says, Epaphras, who is one of you. And so God used him to see an assembly planted. And then he had eventually gone to Rome, and this is one of the four letters that Paul wrote when he was in prison at the end of chapter 28 in the book of Acts. You may remember, having read that chapter, that when the apostle came out from that shipwreck and he's on land again and he's moving towards Rome, and in fact, as he does take that journey, they come and they put the chain upon him, and he writes four letters when he is imprisoned in that imprisonment that follows. And in every one of those epistles you will find that he either speaks about his bonds or his chain. He's there, and he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's writing to the assembly at Colossae, one of these assemblies that had been planted. And so, I want us just to think a little about some of the things that are in the chapter that we have read tonight. First, I want us to notice that in verses 1 to 11, we have what I wanted to call tonight the heavenly life. The heavenly life. And then when we come down to verse 12, there's a little section there from 12 to 17, and I like to call that the holy life. The holy life. I was encouraged by the hymn that we opened our meeting with tonight. And then in verses 18 down to verse 21, it is the home life that Paul is dealing with. And finally, when we come to those closing verses, verses 22 to 24, we have what I've called tonight the hearty life. You may say, why not? Why that? Well, look at verse 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. This is very simple, but it's very important. And I want to talk to you about these things just for a few moments and leave plenty of time for some other brethren who will follow in the meeting today. If ye then be risen with Christ, this is the heavenly life. The apostle says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then you'll notice that he speaks of the fact that Christ is there at the Father's right hand. I wonder tonight, as the Lord's people, in our daily lives and in the normal procedures through which we follow in the days of the week, how much do we think about Christ exalted at God's right hand? You know, brothers and sisters, if we have Christ in his rightful place, I think our assemblies would be happier and more fruitful places to give Christ his rightful place. And in our hearts and lives. And the apostle is saying here, if ye then, or really the if is, as was mentioned in our Bible reading today, it's the if, not of doubt, but it's the if of argument. Really it could read like this, since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What a wonderful thing it is to know that our blessed Lord, Mr. Darby, wrote those words, all the way that my Saviour has trod has led up to his Father and God, to the place where he's now on the throne, and his strength shall be mine on the road. And the apostle here is speaking about the risen Christ. And you'll notice that he does say in verse number two, set your affection on things above. Your affection. But this is, you know, this word affect and affection, it doesn't always just mean what the thing that we think about when we talk about, you know, being warm and nice to each other. It's not just that. In fact, the psychologist he uses the word, and it always has to do with the mind with him. And in fact, the margin of many of our Bibles will say that. And you'll see that what the apostle is saying, set your mind on things which are above. And he says, not on things on the earth. We've been hearing today in the Bible reading already of the awful ways in which Satan will deflect our minds to things that are earthly. And indeed, we talked about solemn things in the meeting this afternoon. And we thought about the fact that the great danger is this, that it's so easy to get caught up with evil things. And into our homes, it's very easy to bring that which will contaminate our Christian experience. And the apostle is speaking about the life that the Christian should live. And it's the heavenly life that I was given a book some time ago. I have an interest in China, and I've been there a few times. And a brother sent me a book, and it was called The Heavenly Man. Well, I read the book, and I'm not sure that I learned too much from it. But you know, it is important to think about the Christian. The Christian should be known as a heavenly person. I know they say, you know, there's a common word that is often used and said, that he's too heavenly to be any earthly good. I think, you know, in our day today, many of the believers, and I have to speak to my own heart when I say these things, of course, that sometimes we are more earthly minded than we should be. And it's very important for us to have Christ in his rightful place in our thoughts. What thoughts did you have about Christ during the week that is now moving on? It's Wednesday. And how much have we given of our thoughts to Christ, to the person of Christ, and what he has done for us. And then I want you to notice with me, though, it does say in verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, when did this death take place? Well, you will really have to think about the truths that are stated in chapter 2 of this epistle to learn that. And you know, back in chapter 2, in verse number 11, Paul has said to these believers that they were complete in Christ, that's in verse 10, who is the head of all principality and power. And then he says this in verse 11, "In whom," that's in Christ, "also ye are circumcised." Now, I'm sure that most of the believers here will know, but if not, we're going to say it, that this word circumcised, it means to cut off. To cut off. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read of the Lord Jesus, he was cut off out of the land of the living. So circumcision there was the death of Christ. That's what it is being referred to here. "In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands." This is not the Jewish circumcision of the little boy at the age of 8. Not that. This is actually spiritual, what we might say a spiritual circumcision. And it's speaking of the death of Christ at the cross. And in verse number 11, Paul says, "In whom also ye are circumcised, you are cut off with the cutting off made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh." By the circumcision, by the cutting off of Christ. Listen, when Christ died at the cross, that's the place where he died, at the cross. And my brother, my sister, it's very important to remember that when God saved you, God saw you linked to a man who is dead to the world. And he's gone to another place. He's at the right hand of God. And I believe that it's on the basis of that that our verse in Colossians chapter 3 is based. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth." There he is at the right hand of God. And he's saying, "Ye are dead. Ye are dead." And God looks upon the believer as dead to the world. There's a judicial side to this. But there's a very practical side to it. I wonder what our relationship with the world is. You know, brethren and sisters, the great danger is we can be so caught up with the thoughts of men and the ways of men in the world, and we lose our spiritual conception of what we are in Christ. And the apostle is emphasizing the heavenly life. He says, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear." That word "appear" there is the manifestation word. It's the day of public manifestation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here. You know, sometimes people have all these strange ideas about the person of Christ and the halo over his head. And he would just walk as a boy in Nazareth and so on. But he never ceased to be the Son of God. Our older brethren used to tell us that what he became at Bethlehem, he'll never cease to be. He became something that he'd never been before. He entered into manhood. And what he became, he'll never cease to be. And what a wonderful thing it is to remember tonight that the apostle now is emphasizing to the saints at Colossae, he's never even seen them, but he's asking for godliness and Christ-likeness. We were talking just at the front here earlier this evening about Christ-likeness, how important it is. And the apostle is emphasizing this for these believers. I'm not going to attempt this evening to expound all these verses. That's not my intention tonight. On my heart is the thoughts that are found in the general ideas that are found in these parts. And the apostle says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." You see, in the closing verses of that chapter, he has said in verse 20, "If ye be dead with Christ, See chapter 2, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? There were things that were cluttering their minds and their actions. And how sad it is that, brethren and sisters, we are not really always living Christ-like life. When did we give thought to the person of our Lord Jesus? And it will have an effect upon our lives. Paul is saying in verse number 5, put to death, that word mortify, put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth. And there is a practical side to all truth in the Bible. And we should remember that God has made us those who are now related and linked with and seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. And what a life it should be to live in fellowship with Him, communion with Christ. How important it is. And the apostle is emphasizing the truth of the heavenly man. I'm not going to stay with that tonight because I'm going to leave as much room as I can for others. But I want now to ask you to look at that next section. And I trust that you'll think in your own reading about the further parts which are very important that we're not going to speak about this evening. But look at verse 12. Here we have the holy life. The apostle says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Notice what else? Meekness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I think back, if you'll pardon the personal illustration for a moment, I remember the first time that I ever came to the Lurgan Bible readings. I think it was back in 1980, if I remember rightly. I'm not sure about that. But you know, We lived in a little assembly in a place called Bishopton in Scotland at that time. And that very week, I had kept it very clear. I was quite busy in different ways of my work, but I tried to keep everything clear in my diary that week because I was going to take part in these Bible readings for the first time. Fairly young man at that time. And you know, the week came round. And in our little assembly we had seen planted in the village of Bishopton, there were 27 believers sat down to break bread in 1977, that was. And we had an elderly lady in that meeting, and her name was Mrs. Black. And we had a brother who had been saved just from no background at all. He saw one of the cards we gave to preach the gospel, and he came and he got saved that very night. And then his wife got saved and his family was saved. And there was a Mr. Black, no relationship to Mrs. Black, this elderly lady. And something happened between them. And they weren't talking to each other. And you know, we had to go and see them because we realized, here's the verse here, if any man have a quarrel against any. And you know, we spent the whole night, the Monday night, with the one person, Mr. Black. And he agreed that he would meet with the sister and get things put right. And on the Tuesday night, we had to go and see Mrs. Black. And we got her to do the same. And on the Wednesday, we brought them together. And you know, the amazing thing is that the verses that we read that day to her were these verses here. And the unusual thing is this, that it only came to me when the time arrived that this was the very passage that I was going to conduct the Bible reading on in Lurgan. And I didn't have too much time in the study that week. But I found in a practical way that God just used the circumstance to help us. And God gave me liberty. I remember that time very well as I look back. You see, brothers and sisters, here's a verse in the Bible that we need to take heed to. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, that will revolutionize our lives if we have applied it practically to our lives. There's all sorts of things, and Satan wants to divide. You know, separation is a divine principle, and it's of God. But division is of Satan. He wants to divide. And that's just what he was trying to do in that little company. But it was a wonderful, you know, the night that they met. They just put their arms around each other. And they wept. And they made it right. You know, brothers, sisters, you're never going to see blessing in the assembly if there's division. And if there's difference. We need to understand there's a practical note here. And I just thought I'd like to bring that to you tonight. And you can see, as we come into these verses now, the apostle is saying, bear with one another. You see, holiness is a practical truth. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And we have these wonderful features. If we had, for instance, in verse 12, humility of mind, that will make a big, big contribution to peace in the assembly. Not peace at any price, but peace that is godly peace and godly grace that will accompany it. And you know, brethren and sisters, our assemblies need in our day. So often Satan has been so successful. It's not always doctrinal. We've considered strong doctrinal things this afternoon, and necessarily so. But don't forget that there are many practical ways in which we can ruin testimony in the districts where we live. And so you can see that the apostle is speaking about matters. Let the peace of God arbitrate, that's the word arbitrate, rule in your hearts to the which. But I do love the statement of verse 13, even as Christ forgave. I never fail to be moved when I read Matthew chapter 18 and see how that the Lord Jesus gave an illustration to his disciples when they asked him particular questions. Have a look at it, you'll find it there. And you know, he speaks about the man who had, he owed so much. And you remember how that he went and he pleaded with the man he owed it to. And the man forgave him freely, eventually. What did that man do? There was someone else he went to. And this person owed him an infinitesimal amount in contrast to the one that he had owed. And you know what he did when they said, we can't do it, can you help me at the time? You know what they did? What he did? How sad, isn't it, brothers and sisters? He took it by the throat. And he said, I'll take you to the prisoner, he said, to be a prisoner if you don't give it back to me. You see, he had been forgiven. And yet he wasn't prepared to forgive. You'll never ever be able to understand, and neither will I, how much we owe to the one who bore the judgment of God for us at Calvary. And yet, brethren and sisters, we're so unwilling to forgive. Now, I don't know who this ministry is for tonight, but I believe that God wanted me to say what I'm saying. The holy life. There are many other things there, but I'm not going to go with them now. Just look for a few more moments. Look down at verse 18. The home life. The home life. What we are at home is a big thing, isn't it? A very big thing. You know, it's an amazing thing how that the Bible so often opens the door of the home. You remember Elkanah? Away there in 1 Samuel chapter 1? And you remember his wife, and you remember the concubine that he had as well, and the awful anger and all the disparity that there was in the home. You see, if you had seen Elkanah going every year, you could say, what a fine man he is. But take a look at his home. Paul does that, you know, when he writes about his overseership in the assembly. And he says to the assembly, you remember this now, he's emphasizing the fact that he talks usually and broadly, in any broad terms we're talking tonight. You'll see that what the apostle does in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in Titus chapter 1 and even in 1 Peter chapter 5, you know what he does? He shows there's different spheres that a man lives in. He lives in the world. He's got to go out in the world there. And he lives in his home. And he lives in the assembly. And you'll see, if you look at the qualifications for that fit a man to be a shepherd in the assembly, All those spheres are mentioned and are brought to the attention of the saints. And here we have, Paul is saying in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. We're living in a day when the world is turning everything upside down. But in the Bible, in God's precious word, the word of God, here we have it. Submit yourselves unto your own husband. It is fit in the Lord. Headship is pleasing to lordship. If you look at that verse. And then I want you to see that the apostle is also saying, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, there's a ministry for our brethren, we brethren, as well as the sisters. And all of these things are set. And children, I mean, these are children who are in the assembly and children in the homes of those who are in the assembly. And he's saying, obey your parents in all things. This is pleasing, well pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. There's a way in which we should deal with our children. But if we're godly and we're in the presence of God, it'll govern the way that we deal with each other. The home life. I'm going to close by talking to you for a moment about the hearty life that I've mentioned. You see, in those days, there would be an added person in the home. He's not a husband, he's not a wife, he's not a child. He's a servant, he was a slave in those days. Those days were the days of the Roman Empire. And in those homes, there would be often a servant there. You know, brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that when we look at scriptures like this, he's saying to these servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, not only when the servant is watching, but when they're not watching. This is really comes into the realm of the business world, in a sense. That we can bring this out because this is workmanship of a servant as a slave was very real in the days of the New Testament. We don't have that today, but we all have a place of occupation, or we did have. And you know, brothers and sisters, here we have the point. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. I remember one time being invited to go to a certain assembly, and when I looked at the top of the letter, I was amazed to see that there was the address was there, but it wasn't the address of the man. Well, he'd written that in one of the parts of the paper, but it was really a business letter. Now, you see, he was really doing wrong. He was using his master's property to bring someone to the assembly. Honesty is real in the Christian life. And it's a lesson for every one of us to learn. And the apostle is talking about the heart. But just let me close by saying, look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. If there's one thing that will help us, brothers and sisters, it's the great importance of enthusiasm in the things of God. I hope we haven't got to this point where we say, well, it's a pretty poor night tonight and it's raining and so on, and it's getting cold and there'll be plenty in the meeting. If everybody did that, there would be no meeting. Are you listening now? It's very important for us to understand our loyalty to the assembly, our loyalty to it, to the gatherings of the people of God. And there's a growing tendency, I don't know so much about Northern Ireland, although I have the pleasure of often visiting it reasonably often, but I know this, that it's in many parts today, of the British Isles anyway, that we have a laxity of attendance at meetings and at the contribution that we put into the assembly, and a little visit to people and so on. How important it is. Now, it's a very practical word that's been on my mind. I don't know why, but the Lord knows. And we trust that God will bless his word as we've considered it today. The heavenly life, the holy life, and the home life, and indeed, the hearty life. May God make us to be hearty Christians, enthusiastic Christians. We trust the Lord will bless his word.
Could we sing just the first verse, please, of 567? Lord Jesus, thou who only art the endless source of purest joy, O come and fill this longing heart. May not but thee my thoughts employ. Verse 1 only of 5, 6, 7, standing to sing.